We left off last time. We left off yesterday on Daf Nun Amud Beis at the two dots, about 10 lines before the end of the page. So we're now discussing the line in the Mishnah where the Mishnah said "Eimotzin la'achilas peros." Eimotzin la'achilas peros means as follows: that if you have a case where Reuven had a field, Shimon stole that field from Reuven. Shimon then turned around and sold the field he stole from Reuven to Levi. Now Reuven goes to Levi, and Levi, in the meantime, improves the field, grows peros on the field, does a lot of work on the field. Reuven comes, confiscates the field from Levi. So certainly Levi can turn back to Shimon and say, look, you sold me this field, now it was taken away from me because you stole the field. So I'm going to collect whatever properties you had at the time that you sold it to me to pay me back for my field. So even if Shimon had properties that he has since sold to other people, Levi is allowed to go and confiscate those properties from other people because this field was certainly sold with Achrayus Nechasim. However, that's only for the field itself. But for the peros in the field, apparently, according to the Mishnah, Levi is not allowed to go to the people who have purchased fields from Shimon and confiscate their fields from them. Levi is going to have to take it directly from Shimon. You can't take from the Chasim Meshubadim, you can't take from people who have bought fields from Shimon to get paid back for the peros, only to get paid back for the field itself. So says the Gemara, my taima. What's the reason for such a din? Why is it that there's no shibud on the peros itself? So Amar Ula Amar Shlakish Lufisha in Ksuvin, because the shtar where the field is sold doesn't mention anything about the peros. And since the whole point of being able to collect, the whole idea that you're able to collect from Nechasim Meshubadim, the whole idea that you're able to collect from Lekuchos, from people who have purchased fields from Shimon, is that those people should have been able to do the research and know if there are any liens on the property and know exactly what Shimon owes. Well, it's easy enough for them to find out that Shimon has sold the field with Achrayus, and therefore that could come back to haunt them. But it never says anywhere that the peros are ba'achrayus, and therefore that's something they're totally unaware of, and therefore it's unfair to go and collect from them for the peros. Rashi writes over here, it's an important Rashi, Ufishen Ksuvin, HaPeros Alolu, Kshenichtav Shtar Mechir Sakarka Gzula, Adayin Lohayu, these fruits didn't exist when the shtar was written on the field. That's why we know it's not written into the shtar. V'lo kasav b'shtar el ploni machar karka ploni l'ploni b'achrayus. All it says in the shtar is that Shimon is selling this field to Levi with achrayus, and he's taking full responsibility for it. Hilkach d'mea karka avu k'milv b'shtar l'hachzei achrayus olav. Therefore, the value of the field itself, that I understand very well. There's a shibud on it, and any shibud nechasim on it. And any field that Shimon owns at the time of the sale is going to be meshubah to pay back that achrayus that he has. But the value of the fruits which grow subsequently, that's only a milval peh. That's considered to be as if there's no shtar, and for that you can't take away from the chasim shubadim. The afligav de kasavle. Now here's the chiddush of Rashi. What if in the original shtar where Shimon was selling his stolen field to Levi, he writes in the shtar ana ekum va'ashbi zvina alininun va'amaleun v'shivchayun uperi ditun. Still, right, he says that I'm going to be responsible for everything in this field, including its payros that you're going to be able to make. Says Rashi, still, you're only going to be able to collect from Nechasim that are B'nei Chari, not from Nechasim Meshubadim. You're only going to be able to collect from the stuff that Shimon still has. You're not going to be able to collect from things that Shimon has already sold. Why? The whole reason why when someone borrows money, when someone lends money with a shtar, the whole reason they're allowed to go and collect from the chasim mishubadim is because there's a call about it. Everyone knows about the chiyuv mamon. And because of that call, like we said before, the potential buyers can do their research and find out if there are any liens on the field that they're purchasing. But when you add in, yeah, and I'm responsible for all the payrolls, and on the sale of the field, that prat doesn't have a kol. that detail in the shtar, word doesn't get around about that, and it's not going to become public knowledge. The bishlam ala karka nafikala ploni makar laploni v'kibla lava chrayus. On the karka, certainly, the call gets out. This guy, Shimon sold the field to Levi. Shimon was makabla chrayus on the field. Aval ala haperos, sheinu nadayin b'shas mechira, ein kol yotze. But on something that doesn't even exist yet, at the time that the sale happened, certainly there's not going to be any call about something that didn't even exist at that time. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amalei Rabbi Abulu Ulava, Hamazon Isha Va'abanus to command the Ksivi Daman Damu V'Katani Ein Motziin. But what about the Chiyuv of Mizonos for a wife and for daughters, which is as if it's written down, because it's a Tanai Bezdin, that you're chayiv in it. So it's as if it's already written, meaning it has a kol, and still we say, even for that, ein motziin, you're not allowed to take from the chasim ishubadim. Why can't you take that from the chasim ishubadim? That has a kol, that should be just like it's written. So amalei, hasame kara hachi yiskun, ksuvin eina etzel b'nei chor, v'en ksuvin eina etzel ishubadim. No, the takana derabanan, the Tanai Bezdin, was made in such a way that it should only be collectible from Nechasim B'nei Chorin. It should not be collectible from fields that were subsequently sold, that are Nechasim Meshubadim. That was the Takana Derabanan. If you look at Rashi, the bottom Rashi on the page, May Karla Hachi Yiskun Tanai Bezin Kachaya Shuksuvim Eitzel B'nei Chorin Volyu Chashuvim Kiksuvim Eitzel Meshubadim. That it should be considered as if it were written in a shtar regarding B'nei Chorin, but not as if it were written in a shtar regarding the chasim ishubadim. Lefisha in lecha, why? Why did they make the takana in such a way? Lefisha in lecha, adam rotza likach sadam echaveru, mazon ishubadim, chazmel levalamis. Lots of people have wives and daughters. No one will ever want to buy a field if they know there's always going to be a lien on the field then. Meaning anytime you buy a field from a married man, from a man who has daughters, anytime you buy such a field, there's always a lien on the field. You always have to worry that maybe they're going to come, the women of his family are going to come and take your field away from you. So it would stifle all business. It would stifle all mekach u'memker if that happened. People would never buy fields. So therefore, when the Rabbanan made this takana, that there's going to be a shibud for mazonisha banos, they made the takana that only from the chasim b'nei chorin, not from the chasim mishpadim, because that would be ridiculous. V'cheinam Rav Asiyam Rav Yochanan tishen ksuvin. Rav Asiyam Rav Yochanan said the same idea that Ula Amrei Shlakish said, that the reason that we're not motzi la'achilas peros, we don't take away from the chasim mishpadim for achilas peros, is because it's not written down. Amalei Rav Zeir l'Rav Asi va'mazon isha va'banos to command ksivi dam k'tani ein motziin. What about mazon isha u'banos, which is as if it's written down because it's tanai beizdin? Same kasha we had before. Amalei me'ikara hachi yiskun k'suvin hein etzel b'nei chorvin v'ein k'suvin hein etzel mishpadim. The same conversation we had before, just with different names attached to the shitas. So that's one shita, that the reason why we don't take from the chasim mishpadim for the achilas peros is because it's not written. It's in ksuvin. Says Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina amar no, lufishein ksuvin. It's not because it's not written down, it's because there's no set amount. How much are the peros? How many peros will this field produce? How much will he own? You don't know at the time of the sale. The field could produce a lot, it could produce a little. It's not a davar katzuv. And the Ritva explains, because it's not a davar katzuv, there can't be a kol that goes out that there's X, Y, and Z shibud on this field. But he has $1,000 of shibud, $10,000. No one knows. So there can't be any kol that goes out. The field, you know exactly what it is. A field of a half an acre size field, that's been sold. So everyone can talk about that. But peros, you can't get a handle on it because it doesn't, in order to talk about, because it doesn't have a set amount. Either that, or that since it's in ketsuvin, lukuchos can't be nizar. They don't know what to be careful about. Meaning, if I know you have a shibud, you owe somebody, there's a lien on your properties for whatever, $50 worth, and I'm buying $1 million of property off of you, I'm not going to worry so much. So what? Worst comes to worst, someone will take away $50 worth of property. I'll go through with the deal anyway. But if I have no idea how much the lien is, so it might be anywhere between $50 and $10 million, it could be anything, so how am I going to know whether to be nisar or not? I don't know if this is going to affect me or not. If it's going to affect me in a major way, if it's going to affect me at all, I have no idea. So therefore, the fact that it's not a davar katzuv, that it's not something that's a set amount is going to affect, is going to make it that the Lukuchos have no way to be Nisar in this, and therefore it's unfair to the Lukuchos if you're going to go and confiscate their fields, because the whole idea of confiscating their fields is that they should have known better. But over here, there's no way for them to have known better. So when he says that the reason that you're not allowed to take from the Nechasim Mishpatim is because it's not a set amount, does he mean that it needs to, in order to take from Nechasim Mishpatim, it needs to be written and it needs to be a set amount? Or does he hold that, no, as long as it's a set amount, even if it's not written down, the you would be able to take from the Nechasim Mishpatim. The Lukuchos would have ample ability to be Nizar, and you would be able to take from the Nechasim Mishpatim. That's the Shaila. If you look at Rashi, Ktsuvim Vafal Bishayim Ktsuvim, says Rashi, V'islei demilva alpeshi Ktsuva tarfami mishabdi. I mean, what's a case of something that's a set amount, not written down? Let's say I borrow money without a shtar. I borrow $1,000 from you without a shtar. Dover katsuv, it's $1,000, and it's not kasuv, it's not written down. So that's a classic example of ktsuvin vafal pishein ktsuvin. So and if that's true, if he holds that you would be able to collect from the chasim mishubadim, he holds a regular milva al peh, you can collect from the chasim mishubadim. Fractosvos, Vein Niran, the second line of Tosfos, the Behed Yitzan Periket Pashut, we say in Periket Pashut, which is in Maseches Bava Basra, the Govim in Nechasim B'nei Chorin, that by a Milva Alpeh, you cannot collect from Nechasim Mishubadim. We clearly paskin, you can only collect from Nechasim B'nei Chorin for a Milva Alpeh. How can we suggest that Rabbi Chanina holds that you can collect from Nechasim Mishubadim for a Milva Alpeh? So Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam says Tosfos Dahachalo Ayri B'Milva El B'Shar Mili D'Kitzva. Now we're not talking about a loan over here. We must be talking about other set amount types of chovos. Kigon Pasak Lazan Esbita Chameishanim. That, for instance, a guy agrees to feed the woman's daughter for 5 years. So that's a Davar Katzov because it's exactly 5 years. So he knows exactly how long his chiyuv is going to last for. The dafka b'milva alpeh lo gavi mimishavdi mishum demand the yazif betzina yazif. That it's maybe by a milva alpeh, everyone would agree that nechasim, that you cannot collect from nechasim mishubadim, because in general, when people want to borrow money, they want to do it quietly because they don't want others to know that they're in need of funds, and therefore they're going to keep it quiet. Aval shar mili havu kumecher damir amachos deo be'edim gavi mimishavdi mishubadim demand demazim b'farhes. But any other chiyuv that you're going to create, such as should have the same din as a sale, where a sale is public knowledge, and since it's public knowledge, you're doing it for Hesia, you like to promote the idea that you've purchased something, that you've sold something, that you're active in business. So since that's public knowledge, the Lukuchos are able to be careful when they buy something from you. They know whether you sold something or not, and therefore, if it comes down to it, someone's going to be able to collect from those Lukuchos. So if a guy has what's the example of a davar katuv that's not kasuv? If not a case of a milva al peh, that's an exception to the rule. That everyone would agree you cannot collect from Nechasim Mishpatim. What's an example of a davar katsuv that's not kasuv? A guy agrees to support his wife's daughter for 5 years, to give her mizonos for 5 years. And that's how most of the Rishonim understand. Why is that a davar katsuv? Because you know exactly how long it is. The Rambam, however, in Hilchos Mechira, Perikir Al Valachat HaZayin, writes that when you agree to support someone for 5 years, that's eno katsuv. He says that's not a set amount. How do you know how, and the Achronim explained on the Rambam, you don't know what things are going to cost in 3-4 years from now. You don't know, that's not it's become in vogue in certain circles for father-in-law to support the daughter and son-in-law when he's learning for 5 years. A lot of them are taken by surprise. They don't know exactly what it's going to cost to support them. They don't realize in 5 years they could have 4 kids. Right? They don't know how much it takes to support them. It could turn pretty quickly. These numbers can change pretty quickly. So that's how they explain the Rambam holds it's not a davar katsuv. However, all the Rishon, that's how the Smayim Choshem Mishpatim and Samach Beis of Katan Tes explains the Rambam. But all the other Rishonim, including the Ravid right there on the spot, all the other Rishonim seem to disagree with the Rambam. We see soon in our Gemara. Our Gemara is mashma, not like the Rambam. But anyway, back to our Gemara. So what was the Shaila in our Gemara? When Rabbi Chanina said that only something that's a davar katsuv, that's a set amount, can you collect from the Chasim Mishubadim, did he mean that it only needs to be a davar katsuv? Or did he mean that it needs to be both a davar kasuv and katsuv? That it has to be written somewhere and it has to be a set amount in order for one to have the rights to collect from Nechasim Meshubadim, in order to have the rights to collect from properties that have since been sold by the guy you're supposed to be collecting from. So says Gemara, Raya number one, Tashma de Itmar, Misha Mesni Nech Shtei Banos Uben, a guy dies and he leaves over two daughters and one son. The Kadma Rishon of Natalis from Nechasim. The first daughter comes and takes 10% of the Nechasim in order to help her get married. Fellow speaker Shnia Ligvos Achemesa Ben. Second daughter didn't get married yet, so she never took her 10%, and then the son died. Now, the halacha generally is when there's a son, daughters don't get Yerusha. The son gets the Yerusha. However, when the daughter needs to get married, we assume that the father would have wanted to spend about 10% of his Nechasim to marry his daughter off, and therefore the daughter is entitled to that 10% of the Nechasim to get herself married. If there's no son and there's only daughters, we know from Benos Slavchad that they split the Yerusha. So what happened over here was, you had a son originally, he got the Yerusha. One of the daughters, the older daughter, gets married, let's say, she takes 10% of the Nechasim. Then the son dies. Now the daughters are supposed to get the Yerusha. Do you first say, let daughter number two take her 10%, and then they'll split the remaining 80%? Or do you say, no, tough luck on the younger daughter. The older daughter already got her 10%. Of the 90% remaining, they'll split it, 45-45, right? They'll split it evenly, the 90% remaining without the younger daughter first taking her 10%. Some Rabbi Yochanan Shnia Vitra. Rabbi Yochanan says the second daughter gives up her rights to the 10%. She just goes and splits the Yerusha. Amalei Rabbi Chanina, G'dol amizu amru, motzin leparnasa, vein motzin lemezonos. V'at amr Shnia Vitra. He says, how can you say this? We say that even if the brother had sold the Nechasim, let's say the brother were still alive, he didn't die, but he sold all the properties, the second daughter would be allowed to take from the Lekuchos, they would be allowed to confiscate from whoever the field was sold to in order to have her Isur Nechasim, to get her 10%. She'd be allowed to take it away from Lekuchos. So if she's allowed to take it away from Lekuchos when the son dies, you don't think she's allowed to take it from no man's land, from the pot, right, where it's now sitting waiting to be distributed? If she could take it from Lekuchos, she shouldn't be able to take it from there. So Vahaparnasa to make it sky. So what do we see from here? That according to Rabbi Chanina, that she's allowed to take from Lekuchos for the sake of Parnasa, for the sake of this 10%. Now, Lekuchos and Nechasim Meshubadim. Now, what is this 10%? Is this something that's Kasuv, Vikatsuv? Or is it only Katsuv? So says Gemara, V'Parnasa, Demeketz Kaitza, Michtav Lo Ksiva, V'Kamotzia. You see, this is something that's not written anywhere, because it's understood, it's Tanai Beis, it's not written anywhere, but it is Katsuv, it's certainly a set amount, 10%, it's an exact number, and still we see she's allowed to collect from Nechasim Meshubadim. So you see that what Rabbi Chanina meant was that it only needs to be Katsuv, it does not need to be both Katsuv and Kasuv. Says Gemara, no, Shiny Parnasa, Kivin Dislakala, Kamadik Sivadami. Everyone knows when a man dies that he has daughters and that his daughters need to collect the 10%. So since it has a call and everyone's going to hear about it, it's as if it's Kasuv. It's as good as being written down, even though it's not actually written anywhere. It's just as good as being written anywhere because the call gets out. Right, Rashi says, Dislakala Misha Shemesa Av, Akol Yodin Shabbas Notel Sisun Nechasim. Everyone knows from the moment the father dies that he's going to have daughters that are going to take the Isun Nechasim. There's a strange Rashi on toward the top of the page, the second line of Rashi. Says, V'natli Isun Nechasim. When does the daughter get Isun Nechasim? So Rashi's just explaining this halacha. So he says, Shezem Mishpat Abanos, Bishas Bagrus Onisuin, Lital Isun Nechasim. When the girl becomes a Bogeres, when she gets married, she takes Isun Nechasim. So you notice the little note to look in the Gilyan Hashas, Rabbi Kiva just writes, Zet Tzaruch Iyun Ma'od. Doesn't say anything else. So what's Tzaruch Iyun Ma'od? Shas Bagrus? And learn through all the sugyas and ksubas about Isur Nechasim. Doesn't say anything about Shas Bagrus, that when she becomes a Bogeres, she just takes Isur Nechasim. No, she takes Isur Nechasim when she's ready to get married. Where do we ever find that Shas Bagrus, she takes Isur Nechasim? So that's a difficult Rashi, the Achronim work hard to try to answer. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. So, Raya number one, to try to prove whether, when Rabbi Chanina says you need a davar katsuv in order to collect from Nechasim Meshubadim, did Rabbi Chanina mean both katsuv and katsuv, or katsuv alone? Raya number one was unsuccessful. Successful. So, Raya number two, Masav Rav Huna Bar Manoach, Mesu Bin Osean, Nizonos Minachasim Bnei Chorin. that if this is the case as follows. Rashi explains the case.
A guy marries a woman, the woman works out a deal with the new husband that the husband is going to be chayiv to support her daughter for 5 years. The marriage doesn't last. They get divorced within 5 years, so he still needs to support the daughter, right? But then Venises La'acher, she gets married to another man. Upaska imo kimokane, and she also swings a deal with the new guy to support the daughter. So chayiv lozon chamishanim kimokane chayiv lozon chamishanim echad zana vechanosan adme mezona. So the way it's going to work now is both of the husbands are going to have to support her. One of them will give her actual mezonos, the other one will give her the value of mezonos. So she's going to be able to double dip. She'll collect twice over here. Mesu benosei nizonos min chasim bnei chorin. If, however, these men die, so the daughters, other daughters that they've had from this wife, are only going to be able to collect from Nechasim B'nei Chorin. They're not going to be able to collect from Nechasim Meshubadim. But that daughter, right, but Vihi, back in the Gemara, Nizonas min Nechasim Meshubadim, Epnei Shehi Kabal Eskov. But she's allowed to collect from anybody. If the guy had sold fields, she can go and confiscate those fields. She's allowed to collect her part from anybody because she's like a bala skov. So what's the raya over here? So says Rashi, Alma kiven de kaitzi chamishanim. Since it's a davar katsuv, it's 5 years. This is where you see the Gemara sounds a little not like the Rambam. Since it's a davar katsuv, it's 5 years. Afalgav de lok siva. Even though it's not written anywhere, it was just an oral deal that they had, still she's allowed to collect from the Chasim Meshubadim. So you see, Rabbi Chanina holds, you only need Katsuv, you don't need Kasuv. So it says, Gemara, Hakamai Eskin B'Shekhanu Miyadav. No, maybe over here we're talking about where they did a Kinyan. So since they did a Kinyan, it's Rashi explains that when you do a Kinyan, it's as if it's written down. It's just as strong as writing. Doing an active form of Kinyan is just as strong as writing. Tulsa says, no, that Kinyan, it's not that, it's stronger than writing. It's even better than writing down. Frek the Gemara, Ihachi Banos Nami. If they did a Kinyan, then what about the rest of the daughters? Why aren't the rest of the daughters allowed to collect from the Chasim Meshubadim? They only did a Kinyan with that one daughter that he accepted to support her for 5 years, but not with the other daughters. So it says, my Pascha, why would a Stam Mishnah, talking about a random case, make up a case where you're doing a Kinyan for one daughter and not the other daughter? It doesn't make any sense. Why would it switch in the middle between the two kinds of daughters? So says Amar, no, Bas Ishto Davai Bishas Kinyan, Mahani La Kinyan. The Bas Ishto, his wife's daughter, who when he married her, she already existed. So the Kinyan is going to work for her. She was already here. Bito Delo Avai Bishas Kinyan, Lo Mahani La Kinyan. When he married his wife, he didn't yet have any daughters with her. And therefore, any Kinyan he makes at the time that he marries her, the Kinyan is not going to help because the daughters aren't there yet. So true, a year later, a baby girl is born or whatever, that's fine. But the Kinyan that happened when they first got married isn't going to work for her. It's only going to work for the daughter that she brought into the marriage that he was mekabel to support for 5 years. So says Mar Mila Askin Davat Tarvai B'Shas Kinyan Ve'Chadam D'Gir Shavahadra. Who says the daughter didn't exist yet? And his own daughter from this woman did not exist yet at the time that they got married. Maybe they were married, they got divorced, and then they got remarried. So they were married once, they had daughters, they got divorced, and then they got remarried. So the second time around, when they got married, they made a Kinyan, and they were and he agreed to support the daughters. How do you know that's not the case? So you don't know automatically that his own daughters from this wife didn't exist at the time they got married. They might have existed from a previous marriage. So says Gemara, no, we have to re-explain the whole difference between his daughters from this wife and this special daughter that of his wife that he accepted upon himself to give mezonos to. Elabito de b'tanai bezin ka'achla lo mahani la kinyan. His own daughter, who there was a tanai bezin that he has to feed her, so the kinyan's not going to help. Basishto de la b'tanai bezin ka'achla mahani la kinyan. But his wife's daughter, where it's not a tanai bezin that he has to feed her, so then the kinyan is going to help because there's nothing else in place that's mechayiv him to feed her, so the kinyan is going to help. So frek the Gemara, wait a second. So his own daughter, where there's a tanai bezin that he has a chiyuv to feed her, she's going to be weaker now. the kinyan is not going to work because he has a chiyuv to feed her. But this other girl who has no chiyuv from Tanai Bezin, she's going to have the upper hand because there's no chiyuv? That's backwards. V'chi migra gara? Is she going to be worse off because his own daughter is going to be worse off because there's a Tanai Bezin? No. Elabito kibin to Tanai Bezin kachla emer tzari atfasa. No, rather what we say is that the daughter, his own daughter, since he knows he has a chiyuv of Tanai Bezin to feed her, we assume he may have given her something as an advance payment. And that's why she can't collect from the Chasam Shabbatim, because the Lekuchos can say, how do I know your father didn't give you something to pay off your mizonos? He might have, since it's a Tanai Bezin, it's more likely that he had given her something as an advance payment for the mizonos. But the daughter that is not his, that's his wife's daughter, that he was mekabel upon himself to feed, chances are he did not give her any advance payment. He didn't give her any money to pay off her mizonos. And that's why she's allowed to collect from the Mishubadim. Says Gemara, third raya. Tashma am Rabbi Nasan. Emesai b'zman shekadam mechol shel sheni l'shivcho shel rishon. That when is it true that you cannot take away the value of the peros from the Chasam Mishpatim? Going back to the case in our Mishnah, where again, Shimon stole the field from Reuven and then turned around and sold it to Levi. Levi improved the field. Levi's allowed to go back to Shimon and say, pay me back from my field, and if you sold property since then, I'm going to go and confiscate those properties to pay me back from my field. But to pay me back for my peros, he's only allowed to collect from Shimon himself. He's not allowed to collect from anyone who purchased from Shimon. When is that true that he's not allowed to collect from anyone who purchased from Shimon for his peros? That is only bizman shekadam mechol shel sheni l'shivcho shel rishon. That's if Shimon sold his fields from which Levi wants to collect prior to Levi's improving of the original field, prior to Levi's growing the fruits in that original field. That's when he can't collect from the Lekuchos. Avokadam shivcho shel rishon mechol shel sheni. But if the shevach that Levi did to the field happened before Shimon sold all of his other properties, govim nechasim mishabadim, then you can collect from nechasim mishabadim. Alma mishum to lokadimu. It seems that the whole reason that you cannot collect in our mishra from nechasim mishabadim is because it simply did not come first. Nothing to do with ktsuvin uksuvin. Right? Nothing to do with whether it's a set amount, whether it's written down or anything like that. That's how Rashi understands. That this seems to be, this seems to fly in the face of every sheet that we've said until now. Nothing to do with ksuvin uksuvin at all. So says the Gemara Tanaihi. No, it's in fact a machlokas Tanaim. Titania, ein motzin lachilus peros l'shvach karkos l'mazunish v'avanos minchasim shabadim v'pnei tikuna olam l'fisha in ksuvin. That you're not allowed to take away from Lekuchos for all these things, including shvach karkos peros, including achilus peros, because it's not written. Then no, it's not because it's not written, it's because it's not a set amount. So you see, it's a machlokas tanaim, whether what we're worried about is ktsuvin or ksuvin. Now, Tosus asks on Rashi, wait a second. You, Rashi, understood that the original kasha was from the Braisa, that apparently we're not worried about either one, ktsuvin or ksuvin, that it's all an issue of what came first. Did the shvach karkos come first, or did the sale come first? That we're not worried about ktsuvin or ksuvin. And then you quote a machlokas tanaim, which one is it? Is it ktsuvin or ksuvin? That doesn't make any sense. So Tosus has a totally different interpretation of the Gemara, just very briefly, because we're running out of time. Tells Dibur Maskel Alma says Venira de Ula Parach, that we're only asking on Ula Dafka. Ula Mifshat Nami Rabbi Chanina Ktsuvin Afal Pishen Ktsuvin. And we're trying to show that Rabbi Chanina holds Ktsuvin is all we're concerned about, and it doesn't also need to be Ktsuvin, meaning this is a third raya about what Rabbi Chanina's Shita is. The Bizman Shakadam Shivcha Shal Rishon Hainu Ktsuvin Vein Ktsuvin. If Levi improved the field before Shimon sold his other fields, so when Shimon is selling the other fields, the guys know exactly what Levi has done. If they will do the research, they can put an exact number on the improvements that Levi has made to the field. Therefore, it's a davar katsuv. It's not a davar kasuv, but it's a davar katsuv. And that's and you see that you're going to be able to collect from the chasim mishubadim. So that's the raya. The raya is that all you need is ktsuvin and not ksuvin. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's a raya, but it's a machlokas tanaim. So it's a raya that there's a shita that holds that way, but we find that it's machlokas tanaim, whether what you need is ktsuvin or what you need is ksuvin. And then it fits in very nicely. We quote a machlokas tanaim, whether it's ksuvin or ksuvin that we're in fact worried about. Okay, says Umar Vaitiv, Amatzi Metzia lo yishava. If a person finds a Metzia, he's never going to have to swear about a Metzia that he found. Meaning, I find the Gemara's going to, meaning, if I, normally if I'm Moda B'mitzas, you tell me I owe you $200. I say, no, I only owe you $100. There's a Chiyav Dal Raisa from Pasuk QZ that I have to, that I'm Chayiv Shvuos Modeb Miktas. Let's say I find something of yours. I say, look, here, I found your wallet, there was $100 in it. You say, what are you talking about? My wallet had $200 in it. Give it back. So I'm not going to be chayiv shvua that I only found $100 in it. That's not going to be because of tikkun olam. So Amar of Yitzchak, shnei kisin kshurin. What if there are two bags of money that are tied to each other, matzasli, and I say you found two bags of money, v'alom erlo matzasli alechon, and I say I don't know what you're talking about. I only found one bag of money, nishva. Then he's going to be chayiv shvua. Shnei shvarim kshurin matzasli. But if you tell me that I found two oxen that were tied together, that you had lost two oxen that were tied together, v'alom erlo. And I say, no, I only found one. I don't know what you're talking about, two. Eino nishba. In that case, you're not going to have to swear Shavuos Modeb Mitzvos. My time, what's the difference between the two cases? Shvarin minatki me'adadi. Kisel lo minatki me'adadi. The oxen, it's likely that you're telling the truth that you lost two oxen that were tied together, and that I'm telling the truth that I only found one, because oxen can squirm and whatever, and they'll come apart from each other. They'll undo the knot. But two bags of money, they can't undo the knot. They don't move, they don't squirm, the money will just sit there. So if I found one, I probably found two. So you're tining with a tainas bari against me that I know that that you found them together and you must have taken one off. Whereas with the oxen, you can't come to me with a tainas bari. You don't know if the oxen were still tied together at the time that I found them. Only against the tainas bari, I'm going to take a shvua on a metzia, but not when it's against the tainas shema. Shnei shvarim kshurim matzasav alomer matzasi v'chzati lachecha mehen. If you tell me I found two oxen that were tied together, and I acknowledge that I found two oxen that were tied together, but I say, remember, I already returned one of them yesterday. Then he's going to have to take a shvua, because the taina is the taina's bari still. He knows that you found two oxen because you agreed that you found two oxen, and he claims to know that you did not return one yesterday. So then you're going to be chayev a shvua. So frek the gemara, what's Yitzchak talking about? He doesn't hold of this idea that when you find a metzia, you shouldn't have to take a shvua, that it's very bad for tikkun olam to have to take a shvua on a metzia. Why is it so bad? Because someone's going to say, if every time I see a metzia, I'm going to say, you know what, it's not worth the trouble to pick it up, because I'm going to pick it up and try to return it. The guy's going to make a taina that I found more than I really found, and I'm going to have to take a shvua. Who needs the tzara? I'll just be misali ma'ayin from it. I'll just turn away from it. Why should I bother? Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't hold to that. What's Rabbi Yitzchak talking about? That when it's a taina's bari, I'm going to have to take a shvua on a metzia? So it says, Rabbi Yitzchak is assuming, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that when there's a Tainas Bari, it's not considered to be Meshiv Aveda. The Tanya, as we'll see in a second, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Pa'amim Sha'adam Nishbal Tainas Atzmo Ketzad, meaning we're trying to explain that how it could ever be that a person could be chayv shvua based on his own Taina, Tainas Atzmo. Normally when you're chayv shvua, it's because someone made a Taina on you. Someone else came with a claim against you, and that's mechayiv yushvua. Where do you ever have a case where you're mechayiv yushvua on yourself through a taina you make on your own, not through someone's claim against you? How do you have that? In the following case. Manala avicha biyadi ve'achaltiv pras. So if I go over to a person, to a child, who his father's no longer alive, and I tell him, look, your father, I had $100 that belonged to your father. I owed your father $100, but I already paid him back $50, so I only owe him $50 more. Hareza nishba. So I'm going to have to swear, because I'm multiple mitzvahs. So I'm going to have to swear now that I owe money. V'zeu shenishbal tainas atzmo. That's a case where a person swears no one made a taina against him, and he's going to have to swear based on his own taina, his own volunteering the information that he owes the money. The Chum is saying, no, the kid didn't know anything. The kid didn't know that he owed his father anything. You went and volunteered that you owed his father $50, so the fact that you said you owed him $100 and you paid him back $50, you're Meshav Aveda. The kid never would have come to you ever. He never would have known to claim the money from you. So you're a total Meshav aveda, you shouldn't have to take a shvua at all. You're just returning. It's like returning a lost object. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov less a meshiv aveda pater. So frek the Gemara, what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't hold that a meshiv aveda is pater? Why would Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say that in that case you would have to take a shvua? How could he not agree with that svara that you're simply being meshiv aveda? So Amarav b'toa no kata. No, the case over here is that someone did make a taina against you. The child happened to have been under bar mitzvah, and he said, "You owe my daddy $100." And you say, I did, but I already paid back 50. So there is a taina against you. It was a taina made by a katan. So it's not a total meshiv aveda. So that's why you're not going to take a shvua, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Frek the Gemara, katan midi meshashi yispei. What, you think when a katan makes a taina, it has any value whatsoever? We learn now the Mishnah says that there is no chiyuv shvua when the taina is made by a chereshot of a katan. His taina is meaningless. So says Gemara, no, we don't mean that a katan made a taina against you. My katan gadol. No, we're talking about a gadol made a taina against you. But he happens to be a katan regarding his father's business matters. Meaning, regarding his father's business, what does he know about his father's business practices? So he knows that he comes with a taina, but he doesn't really know. He comes with a taina saying that you owe his father $100, and he's a gadol, so his taina counts as a taina, but we call him a katan, because what does he really know about his father's business? So that's the case where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will say, Yochai Yavashua. It changes the whole case now. The kid came over to you. He's 15 years old. He came over to you, said, you owe my father $100. You say, yeah, but I already paid him back 50. That's where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you're going to be Chayav HaShvua. Frek the Gemara, Ihachi Tainas Atzmo, Tainas Acherim Hu. Remember how this conversation started. We were trying to come up with an example of when you're going to have to take a Shvua based on your own Taina, when no one else made a Taina against you. If a 15-year-old, 20-year-old, 30-year-old guy is making a Taina against you about what you owe his father, you can't call that Tainas Atzmo. That's someone else making a Taina against you. So he says, Tainas Acherim Vodas Atzmo. What we mean when we say, Taina Satzmo, is that someone else made the Taina, you're doing a Hoda'a, you're making a partial Hoda'a. The guy says, you owe him $100, that's the Taina. And when we say Taina Satzmo, we mean your Hoda'a, you admit that you owe him 50. So Frek the Gemara, every single case of Moda B'miktas is Taina Satzmo, if that's what you call Taina Satzmo. Kulu Taina Sanami Taina Sachem Vodah Satzmo Ninu. Every case of Moda B'miktas is someone else coming to you and telling you, you owe me $100, and you saying, no, I am Moda about 50 of them, but not the other 50. Every single case of Moda B'miktas should therefore be labeled as Taina Sachem Vodah Satzmo, should be therefore called Taina Satzmo. So Ella, rather, we have to change the whole discussion over here. We're not talking about Tohano Gadol. Go back to the original assumption. It was a Katan who was making the taina against him. What about the idea that a katan can't be mechayiv you shvua at all? Ela b'de Rabba kamifli. They're arguing about Rabba. The Amar Rabba b'nei ma'am retar modah b'miktsatayni yishava. Why is it that when a person is modah b'miktsas he's chayiv shvua? Because really chazaka in adam is part of b'fnei balchavo. We have a chazaka that a person would never have the chutzpah in front of someone he owes money to and tell him, I owe you nothing. We have a chazaka that a guy really wishes to, he really wants to deny the whole thing. But that amount of chutzpah he doesn't have. To go to somebody he owes money to and tell him, I owe you nothing, he wouldn't do. But he really wants to be kofar hakol, he wants to deny it all. But he just can't bring himself to do it because he doesn't have that level of azaz, he doesn't have that kind of chutzpah. So, or alternatively, he really wants to be moda that he owes the whole thing. The guy says, you owe me $100. He wants to say, yes, you're right, I owe you $100. And the reason he was moda to him was because he figured, the reason he was kofar any of it was because he didn't have all the money. He knows he owes him $100 and he wishes he could pay the $100 back, but he's only got $50 on him. So he figures, let me just delay, I'll stall him by telling him I owe you $50, agreeing that I owe him $50, paying him now, and when I get the other 50, I'll pay him, but in the meantime, I have to deny it because I don't have the money. So the Torah says, take a shvua in order that he'll to inspire him to want to be moda for the whole thing. So a couple of points over here in terms of why moda b'miktsas takes a shvua. First point is that the idea that Ein Adamei is Panav Pnei Bal Chovo, Tosos over here says, what is this chazaka exactly, that a person wouldn't have the chutzpah? Wouldn't have the chutzpah to do what? So Rashi Maseches Bava Kama says it means a person wouldn't have the chutzpah to be to look at a person who did him a favor and lent him money and say, Yeah, I don't owe you anything. After the guy went out of his way to do him a favor and lend him money, you wouldn't have the chutzpah to go to someone who did you a favor like that and deny everything. Tosa says that cannot be the pshat in Eino Demeis upon of Bifnei Bal Chovo, because a Bal Chov is not only someone who lent you money. A Bal Chov could be someone who gave you a pikadon and asked you to watch it for him, and you're denying that the pikadon was worth whatever it was worth. He didn't do you any favors. You did him a favor, right? You were watching his pikadon for him. So in not every case where we have the issues of modem mitzvahs is it going to be so that that the guy did you a favor? So Rashi's pshat Tosas cannot be correct. So what must the pshat be? Says Tosas in the name of the Riva that you would never have the chutzpah to lie to somebody who knows that you're lying. Meaning, you know that the guy knows that you really owe him the money. You would never have the chutzpah to tell the guy straight to his face, I owe you nothing. You might have the chutzpah to tell him, I owe you some of it, but you would never have the chutzpah to tell him, I owe you nothing, when you know that he knows that you're lying. That's, of course, assuming that that's in fact the case, that you know that he knows that you're lying. What if you taina that, yeah, I had the pikadon, but it was ne'enas, that there was some sort of freak accident that happened and it's gone now. Now he doesn't really know that you're lying anymore, so that would be, in that case, the svara of the Riva, that tells us quotes, wouldn't be shayach either. Rabbeinu Tam has another svara where it's just a very straight svara, that that a person doesn't have the azus, he doesn't have the chutzpah, to be kofar akol. Nothing to do with favors, nothing to do with him knowing that you're lying. You just, when you owe money, you can't look at somebody and say, I owe you nothing. You would at least have to say you owe him something. So that would work in all cases. Rabbeinu Tam's idea would work in all cases. The other point I wanted to make over here is on the second side, that maybe the guy really wanted to be mode to everything, but he just didn't have the money, so he was stalling for time. So the Achronim over here ask, wait a second, why would we make him take a shvua then? If that's what we're worried about, just give him time. Let him pay it right now, and give him a few. Give him a couple of days. Give him time. Maybe he'll gather the money together. And worst comes to worst, he'll pay it in a week from now. So why would we make him take a shvur to make him pay it right now? So the Tosfos Rush says that no, we're afraid that if we're going to tell him, we're going to let him out of Beis Din and say, you're Zakai, don't worry, you don't have to worry about it. Then he's going to say, oh, I don't have to worry about it. All right, I'm not going to pay it back. He'll change his mind and he'll say, why should I bother trying to pay the rest back? So we can't let him out of Beis Din. We can't let him off so easy. Maram Shif, however, says that no, when you pay back late, that's stealing. We can't let him just give him an extra week or two because he feels like he needs it. That's stealing also. It's not only stealing when you don't pay back at all, it's stealing when you pay back late, when you were supposed to pay back earlier. That's also called stealing. So that's why we can't let him out. Sam Sofer says we're choshesh, maybe he'll die and he won't tell his children about this. So it'll be a secret in his own heart that he has to come up with this money and pay the guy back, and he'll die and his children won't know and the guy will never get paid back. So we need it to get done right now. Okay, anyway, so says the Gemara, so since we know this is the idea of modem mitzvahs, what's the machlokas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov savar loshna bo veloshna bibno. Again, the case over here is the child comes to you and says, you owe my father money, and I say, I only owe your father X amount of money, I only owe him half of it. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, it doesn't matter whether I'm dealing with the guy directly or I'm dealing with his son, Eino Meiz. I wouldn't have the chutzpah to lie totally to either one of them. Vilkach lav meshav avedahu. And therefore you can say that I'm considered a meshav aveda and I don't need to take a shvua, that I'm automatically believed. I have the same chazakos that I would by the father, and I would have to take the same shvua. For Rabbanan Savri, and the Rabbanan say, no, bohu de Eino Meiz. You wouldn't have the chutzpah to lie directly to the father's face. Avol b'beno, the guy who you actually dealt with, who you actually borrowed the money from. Avol b'beno meiz, but you have no problem lying to the kid. You had no dealings with the kid, so that you have plenty of chutzpah. Umidlo meiz, and from the fact that you were not meiz panav, when you would be if you wanted to, so therefore, meshav aveda, who you're considered like you're just being meshav aveda, he had no rights to it anyway, and therefore you're chayiv to, you're not going to be chayiv the shvua, because you're like you're being meshav aveda. The Ran in Masechus Shvua, Staf Chav Gimel Amanal, Bedape Arif, quotes a machlokas rishonim, what the case of the machlokas is over here. Is the case of the machlokas dafka when the child comes and says, you owe my father money, and I know because my father told me? But had the child said, you owe my father money, and I know because I saw it, everyone would agree that you would not have the azus, you would not have the chutzpah? Or is the case of the machlokas where the child says, no, I know you owe my father money because I saw it, But everyone would agree that if he only knows because his father told him, you would certainly have the chutzpah, because he doesn't really know. He only knows because his father told him. Okay.